2 Kings chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. The lad is raised. Elisha reaches the house, but the boy is still lying dead on his bed. So Elisha, verse 33, goes into his room, he shuts the door. It's just the dead lad on his bed there, and Elisha. And Elisha falls before God and prays to the Lord. Having prayed, then he got up, and he got onto the bed, and he lay on the boy, hands to hands, eyes to eyes, mouth to mouth. He stretched himself upon the boy, and the boy's body grew warm, but still there was no life. Elisha turned away, he walked about, warming himself, stretching himself and so on, then he came back upon the boy again, and he did this once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha then was able to summon Gehazi and call the Shunammite woman in. She came in and she received her son back. She came in, fell at his feet and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. Her faith had been honored. She had trusted that God would use the prophet. And God used the prophet, and the boy was raised. It was a miracle, of course. It was a sign. It was a wonder. Other boys were dying. Other men and women were dying, and they were not raised. But this was a particular miraculous wonder, a teaching sign, and it shows us the gospel. You see here that in miracles and signs and wonders, it's not a case of one size fits all. It's not a conveyor belt. You know, people claim today, don't they, to have miraculous gifts. It's almost like a sausage machine, a conveyor belt. It's automatic. Well, whatever you say about the miracles and signs and wonders recorded in the Bible is anything but conveyor belt or one size fits all. Sometimes Christ made clay and anointed people's eyes. He did various things. It happened in various ways. Sometimes it happened in stages. Men were cured in stages. And here is Elisha here. It happens over a process. This boy is raised. You see, there is no one size fits all. God is sovereign here. It's an absolute mystery. I can't explain this. I can't even understand it. I believe this boy was dead and was raised to life. And I believe that God used Elisha to work this miracle. It wasn't Elisha any more than Gehazi could do it. The woman couldn't do it. The husband couldn't do it. God could have done it directly, but he used means. He used Elisha. It wasn't Elisha's staff. It wasn't Elisha's servant. It wasn't even Elisha. It was God working in power. I remember the case of Carey, when he wanted to take the gospel to India. And he was told, young man, if God wants to convert the heathen, he can do it without you. Well, of course he can. But if it was said, he will do it without you, well, he may do. But God has ordained in his word that it is by the foolishness of preaching that he will save sinners. So let us go on being foolish, my brother and sister. Amen. And it's precisely the same in the gospel. Here's this man praying, but it's not simply prayer. Here's this man acting. It's not simply action. It's both. But above all, it's God's sovereignty. It's what we call synergism again. God working through means. God using Elisha. God using prayer. These are wonderful lessons that we need to heed and learn, practical lessons. There are those who are monergistic. It's down to God. Let go and let God. Others are all, it's my effort, my works, I can do it. Both are wrong. It's synergistic. I have to work out because God has worked in. I can't, only God can, but I must, and so on. These can't be explained away. Well, they can be explained away, but that's not the way to deal with these things. It's to act in both, act in faith. Take the gospel. God can convert sinners directly. He can raise even from the stones and the stocks of the field. He can raise seed and children to Abraham. God can do it sovereignly by a direct action, but he chooses to use men and women like you and me, brother and sister. In our conversations, in our preachings, in our little writings, in whatever we do or say to try and spread the gospel. He uses our feeble prayers. He uses means. God can work directly, but he uses us, even the weakest means. Different ways. There are many ways to Christ, but there's only one way to God, and that is by Christ. As I say again, it's not the staff, it's not the prayer, it's not the preacher, it's not me, it's not you, it's God. But God uses means. Will this thought, my brother and sister, encourage you to go on? Your efforts are feeble, aren't they? Mine are. They seem to be a failure. It seems useless. I wonder what Elisha thought. Well, he prayed, and then he stretched himself, and then he walked about. I wonder what he thought. There's nothing in that. And yet there's everything in it, if God is in it. What's the point of giving this discourse this morning? What can it do? It might reach somebody in Japan, Australia. It might reach somebody in the United Kingdom, America, up in the Arctic, down in the Antarctic. Where might it reach? Where might it land? It might do good. God can convert. God can save. God can edify using the weakest means. God uses the foolishness of preaching and the weakness of preachers. And by preaching and preachers, of course, I speak in the widest sense. The spread of the gospel is through the weakest of means, but God is all-powerful, that the power and the glory might be of God. May God bless this thought to us. I'm not looking for signs and wonders and miracles, although when God regenerates a sinner, when he converts a sinner, that is a tremendous miracle. And a wondrous sign. May God use even this feeble discourse, and all our feeble discourses and efforts, brothers and sisters. May he use all to raise the dead spiritually. I'm not looking for health and wealth gospel, but I really want to see sinners saved, saints edified and sanctified, and above all, God glorified in and through it all. And may that be the result of this little discourse now. Amen.